It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, broadcasting at 10 p.m. on Sunday nights in the New York, New Jersey metro area, right here on 710 WOR, our new home, and throughout America on the powerful iHeart Radio Network. I open by saying thank you to the loyal following that Mind Your Business has had by broadcasting over at 77 WABC since 2015. And we say welcome aboard to the new listenership on our new home, 710 WOR, and on the iHeart Radio Network. Mind Your Business, presented by BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group, is now upgraded with new content, new distribution, new positioning on a robust new platform. The weekly Mind Your Business radio show features interviews with Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus such as Beth Comstock, former vice chair and chief marketing officer at GE, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Michael McIntyre, director of business and government banking at Investors Bank, Dick Schulz, founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy, among the hundreds of interviews with corporate leaders. All past interviews are available at mybradio.com. MYBRadio.com. The Mind Your Business radio show covers virtually every type of profession and business category, including sales. We're going to be talking about sales tonight. Marketing and advertising, real estate, financial planning, hiring superstars, and so much more. Before we get to tonight's special guests, I open with some thank yous. Cirilli, Michal, Brocha, Matt, Miriam, Avigail, Malki, that's a team there at Bottom Line Marketing Group who assist to make this show so successful. Of course, a special thank you to Darren and the programming team at 710 WOR and iHeartRadio. Special thank you to Zev Brenner, the veteran radio personality who precedes me here on 710 WOR, and to all those who stop me anywhere, right, in a bagel store, at a wedding, in a highway rest stop. I appreciate your feedback. Thank you. And finally, a special thank you, and I want to recognize the many channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Lakewood Scoop, which features the daily business class clips. Nucky Radio, visit them at NuckyRadio.com. The Jewish Home, which features a print summary of selected business class shows in a Q&A format. I post them as well on my LinkedIn page. Business Class Clips, the daily micro-learning video program and outlet that where we feature many of the top clips from the show. And, of course, we're on all the leading podcasting channels, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Player.fm, and, of course, on our robust YouTube channel. Never miss an informative show by subscribing at 710 WOR Mind Your Business on YouTube. And without further ado, tonight's amazing guests. Michael McIntyre, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank, Jack Hubbard, CEO at St. Meyer & Hubbard, and Adam Hubbard, Director of Marketing at St. Meyer & Hubbard. Now, about Investors Bank, Investors Bank, headquartered in Short Hills, New Jersey, is a full-service commercial bank that has been servicing customers since 1926. Their big centennial is a mere 5 years out. With over $27 billion in assets and a network of more than 150 brick-and-mortar retail branches, Investors Bank delivers personalized services and products tailored to the needs of its clients, businesses, and clients alike. And now about St. Meyer & Hubbard. For over the past two decades, St. Meyer & Hubbard has developed and delivered sales training, sales leadership training, and performance coaching primarily for the financial services industry. In addition, St. Meyer & Hubbard also offers virtual instructor-led training experiences in prospecting, business call execution, sales leadership, and negotiating skills, as well as a 12-module LinkedIn training program. In 2020, St. Meyer & Hubbard launched Remote Relationship Development, an 8-part video series focused on the technical and conversational leadership aspects of virtual selling. Without further ado, a very special thank you and a welcome, Michael McIntyre, Jack Hubbard, Adam Hubbard. Thank you for joining me here on 710 WOR. Thank you.
Thank you, Yitzhak. Great to be here.
Yeah. And again, a special welcome to all those that are tuning in. This is our inaugural show here on 710 WOR. I first turn to Michael McIntyre, who has been my guest many times previously and always shares amazing content. Michael, You know, you've been essentially selling virtually since March of 2020 when the pandemic hit. How has your team at Investors adapted to stay connected with its clients and its prospects?
Thanks, Yitzhak, and congratulations on the
Thank
new show.
You.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You know, it's been a crazy 11 months now, and you know, the first thing that we did was we made sure that all of our people were safe. There's been several months where with the rise in COVID throughout the Northeast, we were really concerned about the well-being of our own people, and we took remediation ways to make sure that our folks were safe and could do their job effectively. We also did constant check-ins with our customers, with our employees, to make sure that both were good. I mean, at the end of the day, making sure that our customers knew that we were there for them was really important. And when we called to check in, the way we outreach to them was really different. The days of going in person were pretty far, you know, in between. We did a tremendous amount of Zoom meetings, telepresence meetings, phone calls, chat groups, just to make sure that our folks were good. We made sure that our people in the bank had the proper technological tools to stay relevant and in the minds of their customers, whether it be to help them with their PPP loan, to make sure that they were getting what they needed, to help them accept payments digitally, to help them open up accounts digitally, obtain credit in digital ways. We adapted pretty quickly. You know, we migrated away from the branch, and this still happens in some cases because of just the COVID. And we found new ways to do more appointment-only meetings. We found new ways to do meetings using the technologies which I described a few minutes ago. And we also realized that our customers' questions are no longer the same ones pre-COVID. Yeah. And a lot of the responses that we've had to give have been on the fly, whether it be with PPP or with forgiveness or how to obtain credit or how to open up new accounts. And you know what became very clear was much less reliance on brick and mortar. However, really important for those appointment-only customers, but also a sea change in the embrace of technology in terms of delivering the value that the customers expect from us.
Is it okay if I give a shout out to my relationship manager at Investors Bank?
Sure, please do.
Louis Kravitz.
One of the best.
He reached out probably once a month. How you doing? Has everything, anything I could assist you with? He just calls.
Yeah.
I now turn to Jack Hubbard. Jack, we're talking about now virtual selling. Can you tell us the 5 C's of relationship development?
Well, thanks, Yitzhak. And again, congratulations on WOR.
Thank you, Jack.
It's really, really exciting for you. And we're thrilled and honored to be your first guests here. And thanks to Mike for having us on as well. Quick story.
Yeah.
People remember 82% of what you tell them in a story and 5% of statistics. We spent a lot of time with bankers, so we talk about a lot of numbers, but a real quick story. We started this little science project in 2000 in our home. We're a home-based business. So from a virtual perspective, this hasn't been a big deal for us. So my wife was out buying groceries and went to a bookstore and picked up this book called The Trusted Advisor from a New Jersey native named Charles Green. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me. I've trained about 70,000 bankers.
Wow.
And, you know,
wow.
Words really, really matter. And when I read that book, I thought, you know, our company is going to be different than every other sales training company. We're not going to talk about cross-selling. We're going to talk about cross-solving. And we're not going to talk about closing business. I don't like closing doors. I like opening doors. So we're going to talk about commitment. And in banking and a lot of other industries, we talk about sales cultures. And I think many times that makes the customer a victim. What we're going to talk about is performance cultures. And as we got talking about this, having been a banker since 1973, the bankers have what's called the 5 C's of credit. When someone applies for a loan, there are 5 C's that bankers look at. So I thought, well, why not turn it into the 5 C's of trust-based selling? And here they are, real simple.
Ready.
Conversations, the most important thing we all have as salespeople, really important. Curiosity. We always want to leave the buyer wanting more. Here's a statistic, a very sad one. In 2019, only 17% of bankers got into call number two after call number one. We need to do a better job of that. The third one is a collaboration. Working together works. And that means working inside the bank and working with your partners. The fourth one is customization, your ability to target and focus your energies on that particular buyer, that investors bank buyer that is really important to us. And the last one is connectivity. I think we've done a better job as bankers, but not a great job of trying to use LinkedIn as a powerful tool. And I don't know a better bank than the Investors Bank, and under Mike McIntyre's leadership, that has done a better job around LinkedIn. So those are the five C's.
That's special. You've trained 70,000 people in the financial industry?
Very old, Yitzhak.
Wow,
very old
you don't man. Look it. Hey, man, a lot of people are going to be watching this on the YouTube channel. I mean, now the people are listening, okay, by on the broadcast. But hey, this is going up on YouTube.
Well, you know, Yitzhak, it's interesting. I just celebrated recently my 71st birthday. And one of the things that I find really important, and you do, and Mike, and yes. Adam, even at his age, if you can come down to the office every morning and have an excitement about what you do, you'll never age a day in your life.
So true. So true. Jack, with that, I got to come back with another question here to you. Sure. What are some of the other general philosophies at St. Meyer and Hubbard that revolve around selling and training bankers, specifically as it relates to having better conversations? You touched on it before, but maybe you can even elaborate on that.
Well, I get an interesting question at the beginning of every year. I get a lot of calls from our clients, and they'll say, should we go for loans this year or should we focus on deposits? And I always say, focus on the problem. If you can help people solve their problems, they'll bring you money in bushel baskets. So from a philosophy's perspective, a couple of things real fast. We believe it's really important to understand that buyers have answers and bankers have questions. And when bankers ask really good questions, they're going to uncover all kinds of opportunities. I was a radio and TV sports play-by-play announcer, and one of my college professors told me, if you can ask really good questions in an interview, you'll always want people to be interviewed by you. So bankers need better questions. I guess the second thing is, and it was said by Dwight Eisenhower, Benjamin Franklin, and others, failing to plan means planning to fail. I got to compliment you and Mikhail and others who have prepared us so well for this interview today. It's such a fun thing to do, knowing that we're ready to do this interview. That's the second thing. The third thing is what you know about your client makes what you know about your product valuable. We need to use better tools. LinkedIn, there's a tool called Vertical IQ in banking, RelPro. If bankers will use those tools, they'll learn much more about their client. And a couple more things. I don't believe in relationship managers any longer. I believe that's a passive approach. Resource managers, being a resource, being a go-to salesperson, a go-to banker is really important. And the last thing is really critical. It's not about the training. We always have to remember, it's about after the training that makes a difference. You know, last year, 92% of the $4 billion spent in America in sales training went to waste because nothing changed after the training. Coaching and leadership, Yitzhak, those are the keys to success. It's a simple philosophy that we live by, but it's worked for us for over 20 years.
And before I go to Adam, I have to, again, thank Mike McIntyre for introducing me. He told me already a couple of months ago, I got to introduce you to this guy, Jack Hubbard. You're going to love him as a guest. And by the way, now I got to get my ratings up, you know, now that I'm a 710. So when I left, I was at number 3, and now I got to get my ratings back up. So this certainly is going to help me. Thank you, Jack.
You bet.
We now turn to Adam, who's the director of marketing at St. Meyer & Hubbard. Adam, last year over at the company, you spent 7 months developing an approach to remote selling. Can you give us some special considerations about working from home from a technical perspective?
Sure. Now, what we do, we work with financial institutions, banks and credit unions. Not all of them are as, I'll say, wise as Mike and his team at Investors in investing in technology with their team. And what we found last March was some bankers did not even have laptops. So when they had to work from home, it was a complete change for the institution. They needed to get the technology to the bankers to be able to do that. What I would like to focus on is some of the higher end technical items that you need. Mm-hmm. Webcams. Most laptops now, they come with webcams built in, and they're fine. But they don't offer you a ton of flexibility. One of the things we look at is purchasing a USB or external webcam. You want to get yourself a better angle. You don't want your client looking up your nose while you're trying to have a call. So having that external webcam gives you that flexibility to sort of move around a little bit. Lighting is really, really important. We've been on calls with people, and unfortunately, they don't realize the light behind them, light from the windows, turns them into a shadowy figure, and you can't see their face. It's really important. We can't be face-to-face. It's really important to at least be able to see someone's face when you're having that conversation. So you want to try to turn yourself away. Use that diffused light. Move yourself away from the windows. If you can't do that, one of the things you consider is a ring light. They're available all over. Amazon has them, Best Buy. If you can't get out, but Amazon will deliver it right to you, and they're less than $100. They're great. Some nice-to-haves, not necessary-to-haves, external microphone. Again, webcams, your laptops, they come with built-in microphones, and they'll be just fine. In fact, the AirPods that you get from your phone that you probably got four or five pairs laying around in your house, those are great. Microphones on those sometimes are better than the external microphones you can get at a Best Buy. Again, a nice to have, not necessary. We love a dual monitor setup. When you're on a call remotely, you want to be able to have the focus on your client right in front of you. But if you need to pull up some documents, having that available to you on a second monitor is a really, really great nice to have. It's really important now that we've gone virtual to know your system. We like Zoom. Zoom's a great platform. Other people prefer WebEx, Microsoft Teams. There's lots of great systems out there, but it's really important to know the system, know what you can do in it. IT departments internally have likely done a great job over this last several months of bringing their teams up to speed on how to do virtual meetings, how to get logged into the system. The platforms themselves often offer some great how-to videos, but the real resource, and Yitzhak, you know this, it's YouTube. Yeah. If you can go out to YouTube and find videos from actual users who are in the software, that's a perfect resource for you. You'll probably get more knowledge from that than you will from the platform itself. One thing we find that we really, really like is the whiteboard feature and the annotation feature within these platforms. People are visual. Yeah. It's fine to hear me say, talk through a term sheet or whatever, but if I can write something down on the screen, and even in some cases pass control to you as the participant, it's a great advantage. Get the user involved, not just me talking to you. Bring some involvement from that other end. Another secret that we really like, on the PC, it's Control Tab, and on the Mac, it's Command Tab. That's for seamless switching. When you're on a call and you've got a bunch of documents up, you don't want to be minimizing these documents to switch back and forth. It just doesn't look right. You don't look as professional as you could. Use the Command Tab feature, and it'll just switch from document to document really, really smoothly. And the last thing I'll talk about, it's the hidden gem of virtual meetings, and that's the record feature. When we were doing face-to-face calls, managers couldn't be on every single call with their bankers. With virtual meetings now and the record feature, they can be on every call with every banker. The other advantage as a banker, it really allows for you to actively listen to your client or prospect, because I might miss one or two small details on the call when I'm talking to you directly, but if I can go back and listen to that recording after we're done, I can really pick up on some of those really fine details that I may have missed just during the conversation.
Adam, what a great wrap up. And I want to let the listeners know, our channel, our robust channel, that the platform that hosts all the past shows and tonight's show as well, Mind Your Business, is mybradio.com, mybradio.com. So in case you're just tuning in now and you picked up on Adam's points, he just rattled off some great key tips that really applies whether you're in banking or any industry. Great technology tips that apply really to everyone in these, you know, while we're working virtually. Before we go to a commercial break, Mike, if I can get in one more question based on everything that Adam said, you know, how has the bank and investors, how have they embraced technology, especially so quickly?
Similar story that Adam just shared. We had to deploy literally dozens and dozens of laptops to our frontline sales folks and our branch staff in a very short period of time. And our technology team did a tremendous job. And like I alluded to a few minutes ago, we became a digitally led bank overnight. We became a bank that led with remote deposit capture for every customer. If you didn't have it, you picked up that tool pretty quickly because the days of going into the branch were pretty limited. Every customer had the mobile check deposit on their phone, on the consumer side. We made sure that we were still able to open up accounts for consumers and businesses online. Yeah. And it converted that process from being a paper-based process in a branch to a completely virtual and digital process. And then lastly, we really embraced our drive-throughs. And this really has relevance to New Jersey. Our drive-through window became a selling channel. Because customers were less comfortable right. coming into a branch, right. but they were comfortable to come in their car and sit right. at the drive-through and literally do transactions, not
right.
just to
deposit. Tell us behind the glass, yeah,
but also have a conversation in some cases. And so, you know, for us, you know, that was a big change. And of course, like I said before, you know, moving to appointment only, giving the customer options and making sure that, again, like I said before, having their safety as our paramount deliverable, everything else was a very distant second.
Tonight's show, Virtual Selling, Adapting to a New Remote World, presented by Investors Bank and St. Meyer & Hubbard. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful, but the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. My guests this evening are Michael McIntyre, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank, Jack Hubbard, CEO of St. Meyer & Hubbard, Adam Hubbard, and Director of Marketing at St. Meyer & Hubbard. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Michael, I understand that you have recently opened two branches during the pandemic, one in Williamsburg, right, Brooklyn, New York, and one in Forest Hills, Queens, New York. What kinds of technological changes did you put in place? Are there any differences in the branch layout? What about the fact that Investors is building and repositioning branches while other banks have literally closed? And you walk down Kings Highway in our neighborhood, a lot of prominent banks have just gone. The brick and mortar are gone. How has the pandemic changed the strategies at Investors Bank?
The timing was interesting, of course. We were probably one of the very few financial institutions to actually open up new de novo branches during COVID. The one up in Williamsburg, 236 Broadway, and then the one over in Forest Hills, 10801 Queens Boulevard.
In addition to a major acquisition.
That's right. And we closed on a trade with Gold Coast Bank in the late first quarter, second quarter of last year. One of the things that we have done as a firm in the last 2 years that I've been there is really invest in technology across the entire bank. In the branch, when you go up there, you'll notice that everything is very modular. It's very plug and play in terms of the layout. We can move furniture around. We could curate the branch to the needs of the customer at that moment. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that there's no longer a teller line. There's no longer a traditional teller station. And it's really meant to be more open and inviting to our customers. A lot of the customers expect a different experience than the branch that you and I grew up with in the 80s and 90s. And so we've made the branch technologically modern and current, yet still delivered by some really great people. It's been something that has been a work in progress for several years. The timing was great, and then it came out during this time because it really showed the communities that were engaged. But it's also very inviting, and we've seen some good foot traffic in terms of evaluating us in the new communities, giving us the opportunity to tell our story, and being delivered by some really great people.
Now, Michael, you're one of the leaders in embracing digital lending. How has COVID-19 changed the way that Investors Bank lends?
Yeah. So in the small business space, which again is the vast majority of what we do digitally, we have continued to invest during COVID, throughout the COVID cycle, in our digital lending platform. In fact, in the fourth quarter of last year, we expanded our digital lending footprint to accommodate larger credit requests. We recognized that we had to make some changes throughout 2020 to make sure that we managed our risk properly. Once we had that resolved, we made it very clear to our branch colleagues and to our customers that we are open for business for small businesses outside of the traditional PPP that everybody keeps talking about, but really looking for ways to provide credit solutions to our customers in new and meaningful ways, recognizing that we had to make some changes during COVID in terms of some of our risk guidelines, but also saying to our customers, if you're serious about looking to apply for credit, we have a solution that is in near real time ready to give you an offer.
I now turn to Jack. Jack from St. Meyer and Hubbard. You offer training courses. Again, earlier in the show, you said that you've trained over 70,000 individuals. Wow. Can you tell us, from a virtual selling perspective, what are some considerations around teaching people to, on how to sell from home?
Well, I get this question a lot, Yitzhak, and I lead a webinar usually about once a week on this topic because banks are still trying to figure this out. And I jump on one thing that Mike talked about, and that is that, here we are hands and feet into the second round of PPP. And I think too often what happens is that banks allow PPP to peter out, if you will. In other words, a bank customer, a new customer to the bank will come and get a PPP loan, have a corresponding deposit account. And before you know it, that money is all gone. And the customers left the bank. And I think one of the things that Mike under his leadership and Bill Brown under his leadership with Investors Bank has really focused on the buyer and not just the product. In other words, the product is certainly important to the buyer, but the bank will focus in on that buyer and make sure that after the PPP loan is closed, there's some cross-solving, how are you doing, and making that customer a deep and wide partner for life, not just a short-term situation. But from a training perspective, there are a number of things that we're seeing that we think not only bankers, but all salespeople should be doing as they continue to sell from home. And you can sell from home and you can close business from home. But it really all starts with those five C's. And the first one is customizing the invitation. You know, Adam mentioned that regardless of the software, you can do a lot of things around tailoring that invitation. So when you send the invitation, instead of just sending a Jack Hubbard's virtual meeting or Jack Hubbard's Zoom meeting, customize that meeting. George Costanza's Vandalay Industries conversation, something along those lines, to make it focused on the buyer so that when they receive that information, it's not just a generic information piece. The second thing is, and I mentioned this company Vertical IQ, send something of value in the invitation, not just a click to click on the Zoom meeting and open the Zoom meeting, but sending something of value, economic updates, a value add, an article about their industry. Those are really, really important. So then the buyer accepts your invitation. What are you going to do now? Well, how about sending them an email with some thought starter questions that can really focus the buyer and saying, well, this banker is really, really different than the ones I've seen. Then when the buyer comes on the screen, so the meeting starts, what about the communication style of the buyer? Are they kind of Yitzhak, who is real upbeat? Are they Bill you. Brown, who's maybe more bottom line? And if I'm observant as a salesperson, I can sort of pick that out. And so when I'm asking really good questions and building trust, I can focus on how the buyer likes to give and receive information. Questions are really key here. What we teach are a number of different kinds of things. We teach BNG. It's real simple. Where's the company been? Where is it now? And where is it going? Amazing. If it's a first call with a buyer, I want to do the first call six. Who are the decision makers in the process? What's your time frame? What's your criteria for buying? Who's my competition? What kind of political issues might come up? And what about trusted advisors and how do I earn that status? Questions along those lines. There's a great book called Insight Selling, written by a guy named Mike Schultz, a good friend of mine from a company called Rain Group. And Mike talked about the importance of adding insights to your questions. So all those are really critical. And then the last question is the 97% question. I find it fascinating that salespeople don't ask things like, what, if anything, haven't we discussed about your personal or business financial situation that you would like to talk about now? About 97% of the time, nothing happens. But it's that 3% that I'm really looking at, Yitzhak. Now, here's the question. Mm-hmm. How do I not keep looking down at my paper? How do I keep looking at the camera? How do I stay focused on the buyer? Well, the way you do that is through what we call turkey feathering. By putting these questions and little bullet points around your computer screen, not covering up the camera, you can focus in on little words and phrases and statements that will allow you to stay focused on the buyer through the camera and not continuing to look down at your screen. Adam talked about recording the call. We believe in note bites. Note bites are really simple. It's not taking full sentences, and maybe you don't even lose contact with the camera. Maybe you just kind of work over here on your left side because I'm left-handed and I'm writing notes about what Mike's saying and I might want to follow up with another question. So it's not full sentences, it's note bites. And what do we do at the end of the call? Well, here's what I find. A lot of people don't ask for another date or they don't ask to get married at the end of the sales process. What I always say is don't go without the mole. Whether you're face-to-face or it's a remote call, don't leave without trying to get a second appointment. Don't leave without momentum. In the NBA, no NBA team would call timeout on themselves if they're on a 12-0 run. The other team would. Don't call timeout on yourself. Don't go without the mo. And then the last thing I'll say to you, Yitzhak, is follow-up letters are so boring and dull. Nobody likes to write them. Nobody likes to receive them. So what we suggest is you take the recording that Adam mentioned before, go back through it and design what we call a conversation recap, which is simply a quick recap of the call, not focused on the bank, not focused on your products, but focused instead on the buyer. Now, if you think about it, these are all things that you could do in a face-to-face call, but they can be really effective as well on a virtual conversation.
For those viewing us on YouTube, if you subscribe, you would be notified of every single great guest that we have, just like Adam tonight. Just subscribe here on 710 WOR Mind Your Business, and you'll automatically be notified to every single show that we have and when we post it. Adam, you gave us a great summary before of the technical side of working from home. Can you tell us about the human side? You know, what resources are still needed to work from home? And still, hey, you know, we're human. You got to connect with the other person as an individual. What are your tips on that?
Yeah, it's very true. You know, from a client and a prospect side, now, especially now that everything has moved away from security of a branch or an office, privacy is really important. It's likely that, you know, if you have a spouse working from home with you, you've got documents spread across tables or desks. You want to make sure that your client or prospect understands that their privacy is key to you as yeah. well. That's especially important when you're on a virtual call. If you're like me, you've got a file folder with all of your documents kind of stacked up behind you. It would be really embarrassing if you're on the call with a client or a prospect and a competitor's term sheet is sitting right behind you. You want to make sure that you remove some of those things from view of your camera. That's really important. Another thing, and we've had this happen, we've had some clients tell us some horror stories about this. Pop-ups are great. It's really important to know when your next meeting is. You don't want to miss it. But it would be really bad, again, to have a competitor's name pop up on your screen during a meeting. So you want to make sure that you're closing things like that. To me, one of the key things that we don't often think about, you need to know yourself. Jack is, if Jack's up at 3 a.m, he's slept in. For me, I'm usually going to bed at 3 a.m. He's an early riser. He likes to get things done, get up and get going in the morning. I do better as the afternoon goes on. It's important to know yourself and know when you're going to be at your best on a meeting, not just for yourself, but for your client or your prospect. From a family side, I mentioned two working spouses. It's likely you went from two working families. Now you're two work from home families. And if you have kids, you're now two work from home and you're schooling from home. It's important to really try to be considerate of everyone else around you. Know when your spouse might have a meeting. Try to work some calendar stuff. You know, you want to make sure that you take advantage of the Wi-Fi as best you can. You know, my wife and I have worked from home together for 8 years, and that has challenges of its own. Now we have two kids at home who are doing online schooling. That's really cut down on our bandwidth. So when you can, try to balance that a little bit. Another thing that you need to think about, mm-hmm. you got to stop worrying about what your house looks like. Jack's got a great background. His bookshelf is stacked full of sales books. Mine's a little more plain, but that's the space that I have to work with. We don't need to be concerned so much about what we're seeing in our backgrounds. You got to just find the space that works best for you. If you're working out of your kitchen, that's great. Just try to declutter it a little bit. Maybe don't have the dirty dishes sitting on your counter. If you're working out of a playroom, that's fine. Put some of the toys away before you jump on that call. I'm sure a lot of us remember the BBC interview from a few years ago. Where the gentleman was on the call and his daughter came in the room and the wife comes running in after her. And we all thought, oh gosh, that's so embarrassing. Here's the reality. I have two dogs. It's a miracle that neither of them has barked on this call yet. The small one thinks she runs our neighborhood. She's 4 pounds and is the size of a rabbit. The other one, she hears us on a call and she thinks she's part of the team. She usually jumps up on my lap. You know, we're all dealing with the same thing now. Yeah. Everybody's at home. Our teachers are at home. Our bankers are at home. Yeah. Our prospects are at home. Our clients are at home. It's okay. Stop worrying so much. Make the best use of your space that you can. We all deal with it. It's okay.
Great points. Great points. My guests this evening are Mike McIntyre from Investors Bank, Jack Hubbard and Adam Hubbard from St. Meyer and Hubbard, and we're talking about virtual selling. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Welcome back. Mind Your Business here on 710 WORN on the iHeartRadio Network. My guest this evening, Michael McIntyre, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank, Jack Hubbard, CEO at St. Meyer & Hubbard, and Adam Hubbard, Director of Marketing at St. Meyer & Hubbard. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. I turn to Mike. Mike, you are charged with driving new business at Investors. How have you managed your people differently? How have the skills that you're looking in hiring a new banker changed? And finally, let's talk about the all-so-important topic, training. How has training changed in light of the virtual reality?
great questions and a lot to discuss. We continue to hire during this cycle right now, and as I've said over the last couple of years with you on the show, we're building out a great business bank, and we had a great 2020 despite COVID. But you know, in terms of hiring, especially since, let's say, the middle of March through now, the four skills that we continue to emphasize and spend much more time teasing out from our candidates when we're talking to them are adaptability. If there's anything that we've learned in the last year is the need to be adaptable to the environment that we're dealing with. And so in talking to candidates, talking to folks that are contemplating joining us, we've asked them how they've adapted in their own performance over the last year. Humility. I think Adam did a really good job in talking about the need to demonstrate credibility in these new medium that we're using for communicating with our customers. And so it's much more of a challenge to create empathy and a connection with somebody, I feel, virtually, but it can be done, and it can be done very, very effectively. Embracing change. If we haven't done that by now, then just leave it behind. We move on from that candidate. And I got to tell you that the more you introduce technology into the equation, the higher the demand for being human. These technologies are great, and they allow us to do our job. But at the end of the day, it's still being delivered by another fellow human being and by a professional, hopefully, in that regard. We were exceptionally fortunate in 2020. I kid Jack all the time. He was literally my last supper of 2020. He and I and Adam had dinner probably mid to late February in Short Hills after we had just wrapped up a month of training our folks under Jack's guidance how to use LinkedIn, their sales navigator tools, which we feel are really a great way for us to maintain connections not only with our customers, which is a key driver, but also for ways to build out our networks with leaders in our communities, mm-hmm. and with our prospects. And Jack, at that point, in the basically the midwinter, literally weeks before COVID landed on us, mm-hmm. Helped us to use technology in ways to connect that with the humility and the humanity that I talked about a few minutes ago. And we have been successful in marrying them. We've married the technology on the lending side. We've married the technology on using our LinkedIn tools and our navigator tools to connect. And I got to tell you, from my perspective, given that today, essentially, you know, 4 out of 5 of my customer appointments are still done virtually, we would not have been as well off as we have been had we not had some of this training that was just blind luck in terms of the timing of when it landed. And when I talk to my teams, you know, on a weekly basis as a group or individually, you know, the first thing I ask them is how many connections or how many outreaches have you made through some of these tools? Not how much have you sold. How often are you communicating? How often are you having those emotional conversations?
It's touch points.
Touch points, yeah. And so for us, that's really been a key driver this year.
Mike, have any of the strategies or objectives changed as a 21? Now, the answer is of course, I understand that. But I guess specifically, are you seeing any changes in the expectations of clients that they have of their bank?
Sure. I mean, for us, we look at it from a data set. Our call volumes in our contact centers are up exponentially. That's a fact, right? So customers are using the phone to reach out to us. Our digital meetings, our virtual meetings are up, you know, 10x compared to where they were in the pre-COVID. Foot traffic, as you would expect, is down in our branches. Drive-through traffic in our drive-throughs in New Jersey is up, right? It's highly correlated to essentially what has been the theme of the last year, which is the embrace of technology across nearly every single vertical in our country. And from learning and development to how you're delivering financial services to how you're ordering your food and everything in between, we have continued to see the expectations of our customers change as those competitor sectors, whether it be retail or food services, find new ways to take care of their customers. And those expectations bleed into our space.
Tonight's show, titled Virtual Selling, Adapting to a New Remote World, presented by Investors Bank and St. Meyer & Hubbard. In case you're tuning in just now, where were you? But it will be available by Tuesday morning on our platform, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And in short order, will be up on our YouTube channel. And if you just subscribe, you will be notified every single time we have a great guest, 710-WOR, Mind Your Business on YouTube. We'll take a short commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luke Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeart Radio Network. Welcome aboard. In the few minutes we have remaining, and with very, very special guests, Michael McIntyre of Investors Bank, Jack Hubbard and Adam Hubbard of St. Meyer & Hubbard. Of course, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. I turn to Jack. Jack, you talk about value. What can salespeople do to provide value in an ongoing basis in a virtual way?
You know, when I train in a classroom, and I do still remember that I did that at one point, I always tell people that I got a 4.0 in my education. I'm very
nice.
Proud of that.
Nice.
I got a 2.0 in high school and a 2.0 in college. and I don't think you have to be all that smart to do a great job with clients. You just have to have a great heart. And so when I talk about value, I like to talk about it in terms of practicality. So let's just think practically.
Sure.
First, what are you going to do on LinkedIn? Send a message. Send a video message. Really important. Second, if you've got connections on LinkedIn, don't do CAFS, C-A-F-S, Connect and Forget Syndrome. make sure you're touching base with those first level connections all the time. And one other thing I'll mention, we've got a bank that does something called 3 before 8. 3 before 8 is really simple. Bankers every day, 5 days a week, send 3 emails to clients, prospects, and centers of influence, referral sources, to land in their inbox before 8 a.m. 3 before 8. Nice. Really simple. Nothing about the bank. It's all about value. And the last thing I'll mention about value is Investors Bank. Every morning, I get something from Investors Bank called Morning Juice. It's a quote. It's a short article, but it gets my day off in a very, very positive way.
Amazing. Jack, you've tailored specific training programs, you know, for, it was rolled out at Investors, but for business bankers, which rolled out literally in the days prior to when COVID-19 hit. Can you please tell us about it?
Sure. That's one of the things that we're so proud of. We have 35 different kinds of playbooks, and we want to work with the client like all salespeople do. And what Mike was really needing was to help his bankers and his advisory board members to kind of come together and refer business to each other. And so we were able to put together with a great lady named Bryn Tillman, and I got to give a shout out to her. She is about the best LinkedIn trainer I've ever seen, and we're so proud to be associated with her. So we were able to tailor a class for Mike, his bankers, and the advisory board. And Mike, as you mentioned before, it really worked. It was our privilege to do the training, Mike, but I got to tell you, you're the one that executed the process from a leadership perspective.
Well, Jack, I got to tell you, I mean, hindsight is 2020. And just for everybody's benefit, Jack is probably one of the most humble people you're going to meet here in our fine country. And it is a fine country. It took us 5 months to get on Jack's calendar. This whole process started in September of 19, and it literally took 5 months to get Jack's availability out there. We basically were waiting for Jack to be available to help us with our people. And like I said before, we were literally wrapping up our modules towards the third or fourth week of February, having dinner up in Short Hills, and a week and a half later, the world fell apart. And you know, for us as a bank, really what we did during the month of February was really marrying our in-person customer sales practices and engagements and married that with digital, not knowing. Essentially in 30 days, the way we engage and interact with our customers, that we would have to be doing this. What was really the takeaway for us though was, and Jack kind of touched on it a moment ago, is it was, the learnings were valuable day one. So you leave a training course at 4 o'clock, or actually during the training, being able to outreach to a customer or a prospect in real time with these new technologies, with these LinkedIn types of solutions or Navigator solutions, and literally watching people in a room in real time, our customers, our advisory board members, our bankers, making connections in a room with each other or making connections with prospects, and not with the goal of selling, but with the goal of connecting. And then to Jack's point, though, but making sure you follow up. And what is that value proposition in terms of, okay, you've got your foot in the virtual digital door. How do you now convert that into an opportunity for at least a conversation? And gosh, those conversations since the middle of March have not been in person. And had we not had some of this technological training and this innovative training, we would have been at a much more serious disadvantage. Yeah.
As we approach the close, we introduce a new format where we get to hear the brilliance of our guests from the lens of each guest picking from their initials. So, Mike McIntyre, I'm going to turn to you to pick from, well, you're MM, so it's
pretty, it's a pretty easy choice.
Easy one. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, I'm going to turn to Jack Hubbard. You get your J or your H, and Adam Hubbard, A or H, sharing in 1 minute or less a tip, a takeaway that the listeners of Mind Your Business can take with them and be successful.
For me, it's motivation. I wake up every day motivated to do something better. And as our CEO says, my goal is not to be better than you, but to be better for myself, today than I was yesterday, to be a bit more better. I am motivated, and I encourage my teams to be motivated in reaching out to our customers, to our prospects, to our members of our community, and share the war stories that we've been through. Build that credibility. Continue to further your branding and your presence. But be motivated. Love what you do. And I love what I do, and I love working for this bank. And I come in every day with the motivation of how can I do better for myself? How can I do better for our customers? How can I do better with our partners? You know, Jack is a great partner. And how can I do better for the bank? And for me, it's all about motivation and just being consistent in that regard.
We now turn to Jack. You got two choices here, J or H.
Well, I'm going to do both, if you don't mind.
Sure.
J-H is just hurry. You know, I met a banker a long time ago who taught me a great phrase. In the absence of value, price is always the issue. So today, this year, just hurry. Hurry to provide value. What we're experiencing right now is not going to go away. Even when we go back to the office, the virtual skills that you're hurrying to learn are going to benefit you in the long run as well as your customer. And when you wake up every morning, you get to your desk, the first thought has got to be, who can I have a value-based, trust-based conversation with today? If you do that, you won't ever have to worry about the competition. You'll be the competition.
Amazing. And finally, we turn to Adam, Adam Hubbard.
Yeah, so mine is, I think, sort of a nice compliment to the two of you. And it's always hustle. You know, I teach my son's baseball team. And when you're teaching 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, they make mistakes. What I always tell them is don't compound that mistake by putting your head down and not hustling. If you hustle after the ball, you can still make that play. The same is true in business. We've all had to adjust to a new virtual environment. And the ones who are successful in adjusting are hustling. They're the ones who are taking the effort to go out and learn the new software. They're going out, they're learning from YouTube. They're hustling. They're trying to do their best for themselves, their clients, and their prospects. So that's my advice, always hustle.
This wraps up an amazing show. A special thank you to Michael McIntyre, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank, Jack Hubbard, CEO of St. Meyer & Hubbard, and Adam Hubbard, Director of Marketing at St. Meyer & Hubbard. Well, this wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.